Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to the High Vibration Living Podcast. I'm your host, Chef Whitney Aronoff, founder of Starseed Kitchen and High Vibration Foods. Join me for conversation where we learn about food, wellness, beauty, travel, and spiritual concepts for high vibration living. Only you know what your body needs. Let this be the reminder that you have the power to tap in and know the food, self-care, and spiritual practices that will best serve you. I will be sharing my knowledge and learning with you from experts providing insight into nourishing all the layers of you, the physical, emotional, spiritual, and etheric bodies, so you can feel your best and live your dreams. Let's get started. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the High Vibration Living Podcast. I'm your host, Chef Whitney Aronoff, founder of Starseed Kitchen and High Vibration Foods. And I am chatting with Andrea Wright. If you are on Instagram, you might know her as The Crystal Situation. And she is a crystal expert and founder of a business that helps place crystals in people's homes, in their businesses, in yoga studios. She curates crystals just for individuals. She works with interior designers, and she also has just a great online store where you can browse her selections and choose what you need. I've worked with Andrea before when I've wanted a particular crystal, and she goes to the different gem shows and can source really anything you need. But it's fun to learn a little bit more about why we are called to different crystals, what they're doing for us, how they're supporting our businesses. And that's what we get into in this episode. Andrea and I actually spoke for 3 hours. She's based in Sedona, Arizona. So we had a little bit of Wi-Fi challenges throughout the episode, but we were able to get everything recorded. And I decided to split it into 2 episodes for you guys, so it's a little more digestible. We talk about the best crystals for your kitchen. We talk about size of crystals and shapes of crystals and how that affects what it's transmuting and transferring to you. We talk about like why we crave these things, why we enjoy having this energy around, what is it really doing for us, what are different crystals that come from different parts of the world, the deeper meanings, the best books to pick up if you want to learn more about crystals or better understand what you have and you want to go beyond a simple Google search. We talk about traveling with crystals. If you're someone that's going to be buying a lot of them and traveling overseas, how do you manage taking them on planes? Gritting the house. What does gritting with crystals mean? It's a great episode. If you guys want to learn more and dive into the crystal world, enjoy my conversations with Andrea, right? Like I said, we broke it into 2 sections for you guys, so it's a little bit more digestible. And, you know, really without further ado, I just want you guys to be able to get right into it because we had a really fun conversation. And this is just a short clipping of our 3-hour-long conversation. So please let me know if you guys like what we riffed on in regards to crystals, vibration, life, timelines, and everything in between. Cheers. All right, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
This is like my dream date. So for everyone tuning in, which everyone should be tuning into this episode because I have been reaching out to Andrea for 3 years now to try to get her on the podcast. This is like my dream come true. It's finally happening. Wrangling a crystal dealer is the hardest thing you can do. But it's been totally worth it. And I love someone who plays hard to get. It's going to make this episode even sweeter. So I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm just going to shower you with all my dreamy crystal questions and then leave space for you to just give us your downloads and your knowledge in the way that you do so beautifully.
Yeah, it's funny because when you said I play hard to get, I'm like, see, when I start talking, I don't shut up. So I kind of, sometimes I'm the kind of person that like goes to the party and then comes home and is like, oh God, I said way too much. I said too much. They think I'm crazy and weird. And why did I bring up quantum timelines? And why did I have to talk about wormholes? But you know, we may never meet again. So I gotta just shoot my wad and go, right?
Well, I suffer from the same condition being a Gemini. I just open up to people way too quickly. And then I think, oh shoot, they're going to use that information against me someday. Like I've ruined it.
Yeah, no, I used to work in the film industry. And like when you're on set, there's just all this time and you just find yourself sitting next to a total stranger, like the crafty person or, you know, the camera guy. And you guys just start get it. Like I'll get out his chart and I'll start looking at his astrological chart and I'll be like, well, man, you know, you've got, and they're like, shh, we're rolling. And I'm like, sorry. And then I'd leave and never see the guy again. And I'm like, well, I hope that helped.
I love it. It's like a drive-by astral reading, which I think, you know, I think actually those experiences really support people in a huge way. I know I've met people like that throughout my life where they just like randomly give me a download or a reading and it's exactly what you needed in that moment.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the more that we work in these realms of just coming from a more intuitive place and really seeking a more magical life, you know, that's what we bring into our experience. And the other thing, though, is we have to notice it, too. Like a lot of times, you know, you're sitting there with the angel cards, like, give me a message, give me a message. And for me, I mean, it's like I'll get, you know, simplicity and I'll forget about it 2 minutes later. And if I really want to make the most of that, you know, time with myself, I can spend the rest of the day considering, contemplating simplicity and seeing how it shows up in my life. But I think oftentimes we get very captivated and distracted by the mundane. We get, you know, we get kind of caught in the trance of whatever the world or the collective is trying to impart on us. And it's very easy to slip into old grooves. So one challenge I give myself just as somebody, you know, if I say to myself, hey, look, I want to live a more magical life, it's on me to really clock that experience and at the end of the day, reflect on it and be like, well, how did I do? Like, I'm creating my own experience. You're creating your own experience. I'm shooting my own movie. I'm the director. I'm the writer. I'm the screenwriter. I'm also the observer. It's a lot of energy. And you know, at the end of the day, it's like, well, what kind of movie do I want to have seen? What kind of movie do I want to see tomorrow? What kind of experience do I want to have? It really is up to me to create it and let the universe come in and meet me there. So show off, universe, help me solve this problem. Give me a sign, show me a, have me interact with someone at a grocery store, whatever, like make it fun. And luckily I live in Sedona where, I mean, there's no shortage of messages and license plates. I don't know what's up with the license plates here. They're fantastic. Like, you know, I'll be driving behind someone and they'll be like, be cool. And I'm like, all right, I'll be cool. Yeah. But then sometimes you get these really confusing ones where it's like, I actually don't know what that means. And it's not like a random license plate. Like clearly this person's trying to send a message and I'm like, I can't play your mind games, Honda Accord. Yeah.
I love those license plates too. But what you brought up is actually often what I write in like my 5-minute journal in the morning is I just want a magical day. I just want synchronicities. I want to be surprised and delighted in the best way possible. And I think that's why some of us are so drawn to crystals is because of how it makes us feel and change, how it brings joy into our life just by seeing them and touching with them and playing with them. And I think that's why like I'm also intrigued by putting crystals in the kitchen. It's like, how can this influence the way I'm cooking and how I'm using my mind? How can this influence, you know, maybe the way the food will taste? the vibration in the kitchen, the way everybody reacts when they enter this room.
Yeah, I mean, back to my metaphor of like living my own movie, and I'm also the props master. So I'm the set decorator, I'm the set designer. I set my environment the way I want to feel. And with crystals, you know, because, you know, we talked a little bit about just crystals for the kitchen. I mean, you can put any crystal in a kitchen. So what I always direct my clients to is to ask the question, what do I want to have a bigger experience of? Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to like living your magical life, like I want to live a more magical day. Well, you know, magic can go in all kinds of directions. So a little more intention would be, you know, how can I have a really fun, sparkly, magical day? Or, you know, what do I want to have a bigger experience of in terms of how I run my day? So, you know, if you're going to set your kitchen, if I was working with a client, like there's lots of considerations we can take. Some people want everything to match. Some people want to fulfill a theme. You know, some kitchens, I'm sure you know, are like really homey and cozy and warm and delicious. And, you know, you can just see your like the kids sitting there doing the homework at the kitchen table. Some kitchens are very sleek, very chrome, very, I don't want to say sterile, but like just people like that very clean feeling and efficiency. I watched that David Beckham documentary, yeah. And he's like, I'm like, oh, damn. He's like cleaning up the candle holders. So the other thing is, you know, what, as you know, for you as a chef, you know, it's your business. So you're creating food for clients. So you're, of course, tuning into what their needs are and what their priorities are. So for you, I would say definitely have a piece of lapis in the kitchen. That's going to give you...
I have a piece of lapis that Shakti Sita gave me that charged the palace. And I've always kept it in the kitchen. The moment she gave it to me, I put it right in the kitchen.
I love it. I'm like walking around. I'm thinking, well, what would Whitney want to have in her? Well, definitely lapis. Because lapis, that deep blue, it's that high intuition. It's a really high frequency of intuition. It's really tapping into... you know, the higher self of the client, even when you think about like the layers of consciousness that we have. So your higher self reaching their higher self. And the cool thing about lapis is it also has pyrite in it. Those gold sparkles that you, I don't know what the piece is, but
it does. It does.
Yeah. Yeah, so that gold sparkle is pyrite, and pyrite's a fire element. So that's something else I was thinking about with the kitchen too. Like, you know, you could have five crystals to balance the five elements in a kitchen, right? Because that's what we're doing. We're creating this alchemy and we're creating balance and nutrition. So you'd have earth, air, fire, water, ether. And so for those, I mean, I have a little grid that I just set up for the equinox. Equinox, I don't know. So for water, you could have aquamarine. For earth, you could have tiger eye. For air, I have celestite. And what else do I have? I'm cheating. For ether, I have Herkimer diamond. Herkimer diamonds are mined in New York. And I mean, there's a whole weird thing going on with the Herkimer diamonds. Dan Aykroyd has a vodka company that he calls Crystal Skull Vodka. And he pours the vodka over Herkimer diamonds. And then... charges the vodka with that or something. Yeah. And Dan Aykroyd's a big UFO guy. I mean, I highly recommend go down a little rabbit hole and find podcasts with Dan Aykroyd. I think he did a podcast with Joe Rogan, and they get progressively drunk, which is really fun. But it's, you know, I was like, well, I didn't know this about Herkimer diamonds. This is fascinating. What did I say? For fire, I have pyrite. And yeah, so those are the five elements. Like, so that's definitely one thing you could do in the kitchen. My number one, I would say for anyone, and again, this is, you know, if it feels good, and this is what I say to clients, like if you don't like a certain color, if you don't like a certain shape, don't force it. I have a client, I love her to death. She hates spheres. She's like, I don't know. She's like, I just feel like it's a magic show. And I'm like, well, I love spheres, but I respect your opinion. Just, you know, and actually on that note, do I have any? Well, you all know what a sphere is. A sphere is also a great shape to have in the kitchen because a sphere has a 360 degree emanation of energy. So in terms of group work, in terms of like bringing people together, in terms of like everyone sitting at the table and having a meal and a sense of community, a sphere is going to, oh, I'm getting chills. A sphere is going to give you, every single person's going to get the same equal blast of the crystal's frequency. And that's going to help also set the actual frequency, not just for the person itself, but just as a whole, as a collective. And that's what crystals do. Crystals are a repeated pattern down to their atomic structure. It's a repeated pattern in their lattice. And so if you were to look at it under a microscope, you would see order. You would see repeated, repeated patterns. And I was tuning into it and thinking like, yeah, why? Like, why crystals? Why do we do this? And we live on a swiftly tilting planet. Everything's in motion. Even the crystal itself, it's in motion. There are neutrons and electrons. And I feel like one thing I'm always looking for, a lot of us are looking just for some balance, some order in the chaos. And a crystal is going to have, it's going to hold that pose for us. It's going to set a frequency that is regular, that is determined. It's imprinted with the Earth's DNA. It's natural. It's tuning us into a very natural frequency of the Earth. And you know, the deeper I go, literally. And I was just reading up on a little Judy Hall. She wrote the book of the Crystal Bible. She talks about how crystals are imprinted with the Earth DNA, and so are we. And our DNA is changing. It's evolving. It's mutating. And I think having these props around to help us keep order, to help us regulate the frequency in a way that we know is going to be balanced and nurturing and nourishing for us. You know, it's a little prop that I use and that I appreciate so much. So I don't know. I just really spun off about that.
I like it. But what I want to know is, and I love following you on Instagram because I like seeing all the little things that you do for yourself. And one of the things that you recently posted was that little grid that you made.
Yeah.
For the evenings. Can you explain why you did that and what that does?
Sure. So Remington Donovan, who I think you know, he is a numerologist and he's the mystical arts. He was doing a workshop just on some current astrological transit that was happening. And we were all doing a meditation together. And he was talking about the number five and the five elements. And he actually had it's a pentagram circular grid, and removing any assignments and associations we have with a pentagram, it is a geometric shape. And it is a sacred geometry shape that we use in working with the earth and the natural elements and magic. And so he held it up. I'm like, oh, I have one of those. And I pulled it out and I was thinking about the balance of the five elements. And here we are at equinox. And he was making fun of the fact that it's not so much about balance as it's about, you know, airy season and courage. But I was like, hey, listen, I'll take balance, right? So I just made it for myself. I was like, I'm going to give myself a little visual reminder of the five elements, the five crystals that I assign to those, my five fingers, the tattvas, and how I carry all of the elements. And, you know, I do Kundalini yoga. There's a meditation called Kirtan Kriya, which is chanting Sata Nama, touching all five fingers. And that I do that sometimes when I feel like I wanted to get some balance. So that's the whole point of gridding, of creating altars. It's like we're just giving ourselves visual reminders that not only are we taking care of ourselves and giving ourselves a sort of creative ritual moment, but I'm using that throughout the day, because it's very easy to get distracted and swept away, I'll think to myself, oh, whoa, I feel I'm overwhelmed. I have all this stuff going on. And I look at that altar and I'm like, oh, I got this. I'm balanced. I took care of that. I set an intention, and this is just reminding me of that intention. And, you know, same thing with cleansing crystals. Now, back to what I was saying about crystals have a set frequency. My friend and I have discussed this at length. And there's lots of people that think that you have to cleanse your crystals because they are energy conductors. They are moving energy. They're setting frequencies. And, you know, there's, I don't want to say bad energy, but like there's all kinds of energy. There's all kinds of thought forms and beliefs and movement that can come into our home. Like, you know, the morning after a party, the house has a different feel to it, doesn't it? Like there's like, oh, wow, all these people were here and there's food I got to put, like there's things to do, but the energy has shifted, you know, in some direction. Maybe it was a good party, maybe it was a bad party, who knows? So you clean up, you reset. And, you know, I tell people, do what you want to do. If you look at a crystal and you're like, wow, that really reminds me of something that I don't want to hold on to anymore, clean it. Absolutely. Give yourself the experience of a ritual to kind of put a button on something. And then later you can say to yourself, yeah, I took care of that. You know, even though when we're working in things with ideas and energies that are hard to kind of nail down, that's why we have crystals, because we can physically, tangibly give ourselves an experience of something that might feel a little airy-fairy. And we can kind of come back down to earth, quite literally, and say, no, I got this. I cleaned that. It's done. I can move on. So if you just look around your house and you're like, wow, I need to dust that area, or, oh, wow, that's really cluttered, I want to give that some order. Same thing with crystals. If it's giving you a feeling of something that you want to take care of, go for it, and give yourself that time, that ritual time, to tune in, have an experience, set an intention, and come out better for it.
Hi, I'm Chef Whitney Aronoff. As a personal chef, I created custom organic spices for my clients. These blends are of the highest quality with no added sugar, MSG, caking agents, or any junk. I want you to have the same access to good quality seasonings, which is why I've launched my line of organic spice blends. High Vibration Foods by Starseed Kitchen is my collection of chef-crafted organic spice blends made with only good-for-you ingredients. I use organic source spices, ancient mineral-rich Redmond real salt, prepare the blends listening to Kundalini mantra music, then charge the jars with the quartz Giza crystals for a true high vibration experience. You can now purchase my most requested blend, 11 Magic Herbs and Spices, on starseedkitchen.com. Use code STARSEED for 10% off your purchase. Can't wait for you to enjoy.
So I had a question for you. The other day I went out to dinner in LA, which I hadn't done in quite a while. I grabbed an old purse. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm actually going out. Let's like celebrate. I'll grab a nice old purse, go out and have a great meal. I open up my purse to put in, you know, some money, some chapstick, and I found a citrine and a lapis in there because I used to never go anywhere without some sort of crystal in my pocket or my bag. And I'm wondering, because you've been working with crystals for so long, what do you think about putting certain crystals on you or in your purse at certain times? And what is that actually doing?
I love it. Same. I open my purse and I'm like, oh, that's where that was. Oh, or like I put on like a pair of jeans or something from the old season. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot I had this. The other thing is I always remember that I have a crystal in my pocket when I use a restroom, and the crystal tumbles out and falls, and I'm like, oh shit. I've busted many crystals, and I busted a phone too. So I'm just going to warn people, if you do choose to head out into the world with a crystal in your pocket, just remember it's there, because I did lose a phone screen.
Yeah.
It was actually really weird. I was at this conference and I went to use the restroom and I came back in, I pulled out my phone and I'm like, what's wrong with my phone? There was this giant spider web of crack because I had been carrying a big labradorite in my pocket that decided to tumble out. So anyways, I love it. I think it's, you know, when you hold a crystal in your hand, when you touch it with your fingertips, working, you know, speaking strictly from an energetic point of view, right? Our fingers are the first thing that we touch. Not the first thing, but you know what I mean. Like, we use our fingers to touch. When we are forming in the womb, we begin as a fetus with our fingertips touching our brain, you know, in that fetal position. So our fingertips contain all of the information in our brain. I'm not sure if that's the best scientific way to describe it, but our fingertips are imprinted with our brain functions, right? So if I'm holding a crystal in my hand, my fingers are touching it, like the sunstone. The sunstone's frequency and energies meeting my fingertips going up to my brain, right? So holding crystals, having them touching the skin, why not, right? Because we're sending these frequencies of whatever the crystal means to us, mm-hmm. and what we understand it to mean. There's many, many books. There's Google meaning of rose quartz, and everyone generally says the same thing: unconditional love, right? So it's the same thing. It's that we were talking about earlier, where what do I want to have a bigger experience of today? I want balance. I'm going to grab a little tiger eye and keep that in my pocket. Tiger eye balances the yin and yang. It's a solar energy. It's got Sagittarius and Jupiter vibes. So there's a go for it quality to it. There's a abundance and prosperity. So, you know, it's a kind of like pick your, and also pick your reminder. So it's like, wow, I'm having a bad day, or, oh, wow, this day is not going the way I thought it would. And, oh, wait, I've got my little traveling companion with me right now. So the only other thing I would say is just consider the weight of the crystal that you're carrying with you. I've run into this traveling before. I can tell you right now, I have a crystal skull that I know weighs 6.2 pounds because I got to weigh my suitcase, you know.
Why do you like to take a crystal skull with you when you travel?
See, yeah, that's a very good question. I'm working on it's like when I was saying to you earlier, I'm like, wow, I got to get my story straight here before I talk to Whitney, because
I understand, because sometimes I have in the past just formed attachments to certain crystals, mm-hmm. that I travel with them and there's no reason. Mm-hmm. It's just when they're next to me, there's a calmness that I feel. And so when I'm traveling, I want that to be near me when I go to sleep at night, because it just feels so darn good. But, you know, I could Google and look up the meaning of that crystal and why it's doing it for me. But, you know, why add extra work to it? I just have to travel with this crystal. Is that what is causing you to not leave home without your crystal skull?
You know, like with anything, I think crystals are a great gateway for self-inquiry. You know, you can go to a shop or you can go to a show and be like, oh, wow, you know, I really want to, this is my list of things that I want to get. And, you know, carnelian, citrine. Okay, great. And then you get to the show and you see a crystal you've never seen before. You have no idea what it is. It's like, what's that? You know, again, we're visual people. So to me, it's like, well, you work backwards. I mean, you know, this is ruby fuchsite. So it's like, okay, what's going on here? Why am I so interested in this? And so I pick it up and then I Google, or I look in a book, or I just feel how it feels. I think about what it makes me remember. There's a saying, the crystal finds you. Mm-hmm. How do we all come together? I mean, we could ask that question for the rest of our lives. And then with the traveling, I mean, I do carry a piece of tiger eye with me when I travel, because that's a it's a traveling stone in that Jupiter Sagittarius frequency that I, you know, we can get into astrological assignments because many crystals, all crystals are assigned to an astrological sign, planet. There's a book that talks about it a lot. And then, of course, I work with Joanna Pitt and Tashi Powers, and they've talked about the Vastu and setting grids that are astrological in nature. But yeah, the skulls are a big inquiry for me because I've been very interested in them for years and started collecting them and selling them and connecting with them. And there's one in particular that I brought with me on a trip a few years ago. And I don't know, I've named her. Some people name their skulls. You can name your crystals. It's whatever. It's supposed to be fun. I mean, the whole point of this is like not to be taken too seriously. But there's just something about it too, where I have so many photos of myself with this crystal skull. And when I'm in hotel rooms, I do like to set a little altar when I'm traveling, just a little piece of home. I mean, a lot of, you know, you can have like family photographs, or I like to have a little crystal grid. It's just something to just keep me looking at something that's not, you know, sterile hotel room, really, if anything. Mm-hmm. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. When it comes to a crystal skull, help us understand why it's different if we bought a piece of quartz versus a piece of quartz that's cut into a crystal skull.
Sure.
What's going on here?
The crystal skulls have a full, like a whole mythology. I don't want to say mythology, but they do have history in the Mayan tradition and in many traditions that I'm still not completely aware of. I mean, a lot, I don't want to say this is like secret information or secret knowledge, but there's just a lot of traditions that they don't like write books about why they have, you know, crystal skulls. It's like, you know,
wasn't there a certain number of crystal skulls on the planet?
Yeah. So the story, as I understand it, is there were 13 crystal skulls. And then when the Mayans left this dimension and moved into another dimension, which is, again, as I understand the story, I'm not a historian, you guys, and I'm not trying to retell legend here. But and in fact, the Indiana Jones movie is pretty it's actually pretty informative. Like, I mean, it's definitely a Hollywood movie, but it I was like, oh yeah, I heard that too. So the way I work with that is the Mayans moved to a different dimension. Mm-hmm. They brought the skulls with them. The skulls themselves are interdimensional beings. And it really is a matter of consciousness of being able to perceive them or not. So it's a matter of consciousness to be able to perceive this other dimension, if you will. Therefore, I could be tripping over one of their crystal skulls right now and just not know it because I'm not tuned in to that frequency necessarily. So one way you could work with a crystal skull is kind of using it as a stand-in, back to the whole movie metaphor. So like this is I've named her Enodia. This is the crystal skull that I travel with. So I can sit with her and meditate. I can carry it around to all these different countries. One thing I do it, the one of the reasons I do it is I bring her to all these different places I go to sacred sites. Plunker down on the ground. Crystals mm-hmm. contain a frequency. Crystals transmit energy. Crystals channel energy. Crystals soak up energy. Barbara Han Clow, who's a very established astrologer, holds a crystal in her hand to help her remember things. Mm-hmm. There's the whole realm of the Lemurian. I don't want to say mythology. I don't know why that word keeps coming up. But the Lemurian narrative, let's say, is that prior to the collapse of the civilization of Lemuria, all of the information, the libraries were all stored in crystals. Dolores Cannon, if you want to get into her, highly recommend. She has a book called The Three Waves of Volunteers, where in one of her regressions, I mean, it's wild. She, this, where this goes. And it's actually why I went and visited CERN in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So there's this whole, this person's regressed and they talk about a civilization. And I don't know if they specify that it's Atlantis. I think they do say it's Atlantis, but I mean, they were using crystals as these to unlock energy containers. Let's just say, like, in the grid, like she calls it the gridlock. So like there was an energy grid, and a sort of like fuck around and find out, they were using the crystals to mess around with dark matter, and using them to unlock energy in chaotic ways. Really, there was no plan. And in this regression, she's like, it's, you know, the Dolores Cannon comments, oh, it's interesting that this came up because CERN, which is the particle collider in Switzerland, had just fired up, and you know, just ripping wormholes here and there. Like, who knows?
Yeah, they're doing the same thing. They're just experimenting with playing with energy, not worried about any consequences.
Yeah. And, you know, I was going to Switzerland to hand deliver a crystal skull to a client. It was a very large skull, and it was something that I was concerned for the safety of. And so I looked into the shipping for it and the insurance and all that. And I was like, I talked to my client and I was like, you know, I could just fly this out to you. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. So I hand delivered this, I don't know, 12, 14 pound crystal skull, which, by the way, you can travel with crystals in your carry-on. I have a whole hack that I can share with you in a moment about how I used to do that. I don't know if it's still viable, but anyways, I got to Switzerland and I was like, well, we got to go to CERN. Like, what are they up to? So we did. We went to CERN and we went on their little tour. And it's funny because whatever, right? Like, there, I don't know how much money, I don't know how many pounds of steel, I don't know how much equipment has gone into building this enormous contraption, you know, 12 miles underground or whatever the numbers are, to really pierce the quantum, if you will. I'm thinking about it and I'm like,
even piercing the quantum? You know,
I was like, isn't meditation easier and cheaper? Mm-hmm. Like, I think of what Joe Dispenza's doing in his workshops and like quantum healing, and I'm like, I don't know. I guess yes. Like, there's science. There's guys, throwing down cable and you know, swinging around. But I don't know. Is it faster, easier, more efficient to attune my mind and my consciousness with the quantum than going through all that?
That's a really interesting point, because I've been to a Dr. Joe Dispenza conference.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, and he's spending so much time and research working with UC San Diego to prove how you can teach people rather easily to meditate in a way where they can send healing energy to somebody and they can reverse every type of disease. And that's what they've been proving time and time and time again with the faculty at UC San Diego. Yep. So they can expand this out to more people, so people don't have to suffer from any disease. They can heal through energy, through a group of people gathering, whether together or throughout the world, focusing on another person for 30 minutes, consistently multiple times a week, and they can heal. And it requires nothing. Doesn't require any money, any props, any products. It's free healing and it's fascinating. So give me your tips on how to travel with crystals.
This is what I'm going public with this little hack. So back in the day, I was traveling from LA to New York a lot because I was stocking a yoga studio with crystals. Mm-hmm. And that meant, you know, it's a lot to ship crystals. I mean, it's expensive. So first of all, I bubble wrap everything and I put it in the carry-on, and I put it in a way that is going to be easy for TSA to like pull me over and go through everything. So if you're traveling with a lot of crystals, for example, and they are in your carry-on, and I recommend putting them in the carry-on because they don't weigh carry-ons, at least domestically here in the U.S. When you get into India and you're going to those places, it gets a little dicey because they do weigh your carry-ons. Although, when I was traveling to Switzerland with the 12-pound crystal skull, there was no way my carry-on fit the guidelines for Swiss Air. There were two lines at the gate, and one of the women I could see. I mean, she was militant. She was like, "Please come over here. I'm going to do 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 do." And then this other woman was just sort of like waving people in and smiling, and I'm like, "I'm getting in that line." So I also chant a mantra, which is "Ad such ju God such ha be such nanakosi be such." That is to remove blocks and to keep things flowing. So I had that, I was chanting that mantra in my head. And I cruised through, by the way, with like, you know, a 40-pound carry-on that was not the 18-pound limit. So you got to be able to lift your carry-on. So know what you can lift, right? Especially, I can lift very heavy weights just by nature of what I do. It's also kind to not accept help from people that are like, "Oh, let me get that for you," or at least warn them. It's just be like, "By the way, this is like 80 pounds," because I ran into that in England. In London, they're very hospitable. The men are very like, "Let me help you with that." And I'm like, "You know, just, it's heavy, okay?" And then they'll kind of look at me like, "What the hell?" And I'm like, "It's fine, it's fine." When I was traveling to Mallorca, same thing. I was stocking crystals. That was a whole thing because we ran into a situation with customs. So I went to Mallorca with four duffel bags full of crystals. And honestly, the only person that brought it up was the cab driver from the airport to the studio in Mallorca. He's like, "What's in here?" And I was like, "Presents." He's like, "These are heavy." And I'm like, "Heavy presents." So if you're going to travel with a lot, I say put them in your carry-on. Make sure you can lift the carry-on. Wrap them in a way that TS, like I used to wrap with tape. Sometimes I'll wrap with elastic bands because that's just easier to pull off and put back together. TSA will tape it up for you again. And it has like the TSA stamp all over it, so it looks really official. The other thing I would do is when I had said carry-on that was like, you know, 70 pounds, when I would get to the gate, they would always say, this flight is overbooked. If anyone would like to check their carry-on, no extra charge, we'll gladly take that for you. And I would march up to the gate before they even made the announcement. And I'd be like, "Do you need people to take the carry-on?" And they'd be like, "Yes, we do." And I'm like, "Here you go." The one time it backfired was when I had it was very heavy and the flight was like barely booked. There were like two people on and they're like, "Oh no, no, you can bring that on." And I'm like, "You sure? You sure you don't want to check this?" And they're like, no, you can just carry it on." And I'm like, "Okay, I got it. It's fine." So yes, those are my travel hacks. And same thing with shipping. The more bubble wrap, the better. That's, you know, don't take chances.
Perfect. That's super helpful. It is. We'll see how many of us are traveling with giant heavy gifts, you know, anytime soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the High Vibration Living Podcast. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are tuning in from to help more listeners like and find this podcast. And if you really loved what you heard today, pay it forward and send this episode to a friend or loved one. For more Starseed Kitchen, visit starseedkitchen.com and follow us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Be sure to pick up a jar of my High Vibration Foods organic spices, which you can purchase on starseedkitchen.com. You can find me and follow along on my chef adventures on all your favorite social media channels at Whitney Aronoff. Thanks again for tuning in. Cheers to you and your health.